Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse, and my biblical question, why are women assumed innocent and men assumed guilty? Why are men assumed guilty? Why are women assumed innocent and men assumed guilty? Amazing question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show, listen on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and doing whatever it is you're doing, and you just can't sit and watch the show, you would love to, but you got to run around. You got to go to the gym. You got to do whatever it is you're doing. You can podcast the show and then watch it on your, and listen to it on the phone. You can listen to it on the phone by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate to have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bun JLP Cash App. Bun JLP Cash App. It's Wednesday. And every first 2 hours of Wednesday, the third hour of Wednesday is manhood hour. The first 2 hours of Wednesday is black because we love the blacks. It is Black Excellence Wednesday. That was then when America was great, and this is now. What's wrong with the black?
It blows my mind how black people go in everybody else's business and bully them.
I want to make sure we agree on that first.
No, we disagree.
Hold on.
I'm on your ass, Jesse.
What the?
Come on, Coon.
Hey, Tony. My mirror flew about to come off.
I think you've pretty much pissed off everybody.
E-black. What the? It's Wednesday. A lot of stuff to cover. Your friend, my friend, and the world friend is here. The smartest, one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven, Bill Lockwood. He's the host of Patriotic Pulpit and Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. He's a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ in Texas, and he's here the end of every month. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you today?
All is well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm great. Great to be here. Great to be with you and see you again.
Thank you, man. Nice shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. That's right. Thank you for that. I thought I'd try to make a splash here.
And you did. So, I want to talk to you about so many things, but first I want to ask you about how you see things that are happening in the United States right now and the world, but how things looking to you with the Iran thing and the gas prices that the people complain about, all that. How are things looking to you?
I'm concerned that instead of America first, we've put Israel first. And I am concerned that Donald Trump has shot himself in the foot on going to war. I am not in favor of it. I am not favorable to it. I think that we have done exactly what we have said we would not do, or that conservatives have actually decried, and that is that we continue to be the policemen of the world, bought for by American tax dollars and American blood. I'm not saying, I would like to her to say this and add this, I'm not saying that I do not support our troops and I don't support our military. I do. I support our military and I support our troops just as like I did when we were in Vietnam or any other war. However, I'm concerned about the policies that continue to put them in places in order to police the world. And I'm not so favorable to that. So what's happening in our country is the gas prices have risen. And I think Donald Trump, in my opinion, is trying to get out of it at this particular point simply because he knows that the midterms, if we have gas prices as they are now, that has not been a betterment for our own economy. So I think this is a mistake. I don't think this is a good move to go to Iran and go to war.
In your opening statement, did you say America is being controlled by Israel?
Well, I'm asking not necessarily controlled by Israel, but is it America first or is it Israel first?
Oh, yeah. What does that mean? And what is the proof that kind of question would come up? What made you think that way?
Well, number one, is Iran or any of those Middle Eastern countries, are they threatening right now the United States? Well, they may be, but what is the existential threat? Is it existential threat to the homeland of the United States, or is it an existential threat to Israel? And I'm going to say that it's an existential threat to Israel first in the Mideast. Jesse, we have been bogged down in the Middle East since to the time of FDR and the creation of the United Nations under Harry Truman. We've been bogged down in the Middle East all of those decades, primarily to defend Israel. And I question that entire strategy, and I don't believe that maybe we should be doing that.
There is proof that President Trump had this concern about Iran even before he was considering becoming president. We show interviews of him saying that we need to deal with them before they attack us. It's impossible that he realized way back then that Iran was a problem and that we should not wait until they build a nuclear bomb and attack us. Could that be real?
I don't deny that that is real. I don't deny that the intelligence on that is accurate. But I'm simply asking the question, what made it so that the United States, with our money and our blood, have become the policemen of the world? So China, are they a nuclear country at this point? Well, I believe that they are. So they've been threatening Taiwan. Are we going to go to China and knock them in the head because they're threatening the free country of Taiwan? They have occupied other nations. I just question this. Okay, so these guys are acting bad over here, and we're going to go over there, and we're going to knock them in the head. That's number one. Number two, what is it, or how is it that we're going to replace, or what will be replacing in Iran, a Muslim country? What is going to replace the Ayatollah? Just another mini Ayatollah. We don't have anything lined up. And they say, well, it's not nation building. We're not nation building. Well, what are they going to replace it with over there? Number three, the very reason that Iran has become our inveterate enemy is because of United States intermeddling in foreign policy, with our foreign policy under Jimmy Carter. And we kicked out the Shah, as one writer put it, as a dead mouse, and we helped install the Ayatollah. So I go back and think, okay, and you hear every day on the news, you hear, okay, for 47 years they've been trouble. Well, why have they been trouble? We kicked out the Shah. We helped undercut him, and we actually placed into position the Ayatollah. That's how that happened. So it was our intermeddling in these countries that have created some of the chaos to begin with. So I just question now, what's the big picture here? And I am not favorable to it.
Do you trust that Donald Trump knows what he's doing or not?
I trust Donald Trump. I do, and I still support Trump. But I think that he has been taken by the globalists. And of course he was accused of being an isolationist, which I don't believe that's a correct term. I believe it's a non-interventionist. But he's showing himself he's not a non-interventionist. We have intervened in foreign countries again. We're intervening elsewhere. And we are depleting, in my estimation, the military capability of America so we're going to war in Iran. Now they're sending troops over there. What? This seems to be a never-ending story, and I am concerned about it. I'm not saying that Donald Trump doesn't have more inside information, and he might have a lot better view of things than I'm able to predict right here. And that may be true. But I just see the big picture that we have continued to intermeddle and interfere in foreign countries under the idea that we have always, well, they're threatening us, and they might get a nuclear weapon, and they might do this, and they might do that. Well, we might as well be at war always then. I don't know. When do we not go to war?
If Donald Trump were to get this thing over with and the oil started flowing and he bring the boys home within the next, I guess, week or so, would that change your opinion? Would that say, yeah, he was right? Or would you still say we shouldn't have gone over there?
I say he's going to be doing that anyway. He's going to do that because he knows the Republicans are going to get kicked in the seat of the pants in the midterms if we don't get our economy under control. And our economy is going out of control, spending out of control because of foreign wars. So I'm not sure that, okay, that was a right move to begin with. I'm not sure that that's the case. And I might, and I will rejoice with everybody that Donald Trump, and I will rejoice that, okay, we bring the troops home, everything turns out good, oil prices have begun to deplete, go down, and we're doing great. I'm going to rejoice in that also. But I am always going to have in my mind a question, why did we go over there to begin with? Okay. Why are we doing this? So it's peculiar to me that the Democrats have promised to go over with troops to foreign nations continually, and the Republicans and the conservatives have said, why are we doing this? We are not the global cop. Is that what we signed up for? And here's another thing. Just thinking about the Constitution, are we following the Constitution here? Now, not to say that we would have a declaration of war from the Congress that we have now, for they're so widely split, but are we following the Constitution? Are we able to go to war, make war, destroy a country, take down the regime, and it's all a police action and not to be considered? As our founding father said, you have to have a declaration of war from Congress to do it. So I've heard many commentators on television say, well, we didn't do it in Vietnam, we didn't do it in Korea, we didn't do it in Iraq, we didn't do it in Somalia. That's true. We have not done that, but those were all Democrat-led and some of them Republican-led wars. But I would argue, just because we neglected the Constitution in those years does not justify that we neglect the Constitution today.
What should... Again, I'm learning to hear more about our relationship, American relationship with Israel now, than I ever heard before. Excuse me. I've always, growing up, I was taught that, or I heard the adults say that Israel is our greatest ally in that area, growing up, and that America and Israel were allies there. They were together. And that if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity. So, like, Judaism and Christianity are like brothers. First, before I ask you about the religious part, what should American relationship be with Israel? And back in the good old days, were the people wrong about Israel being our ally in that area?
Well, there's a lot in that question, multi-part question, multifaceted. So let's just break it down a couple of things. So number one, I do believe that Israel is our friend. I don't deny that Israel is our friend and that they should be our friend. Number two, once again, I question, should we, with our foreign aid, with money from the American taxpayer pocketbook, should we, with foreign aid, support Israel? Well, the Constitution does not allow it. Foreign aid is not allowed in the Constitution. So let's say that, okay, well, they're our friends. Okay, let's send them money. Okay, so then you get another president in there and say, you know what? We want to send money over here to Somalia. Okay, well, now what's the argument? The argument is, well, we need to help them, but we've already jumped out of the arena. We've already broken down the gates, because the gates say no foreign aid. We don't have any constitutional authority to send money to another country. So now we're doing that. So another president or a democratic regime gets into Washington, D.C., and they say, okay, we're going to send money over here to such and such country, and we're going to send it over here to a South American country. Well, what are we going to say about it? Are we going to say, well, that's not constitutional? Well, we can't say that anymore. We're going to have to say, well, why are you doing that? And is that a wise move? And Israel's our friend, and these are not our friends. So now we have left the Constitution, and we are just wallowing around talking about who's our friend and not our friend. So all of that I'm going to say, yes, Jesse, I believe that Israel's our friend, and I don't deny that, and I hope to go there one day. But at the same time, I'm not certain that American blood should be spilt and American money should be paid to Israel for anything as foreign aid. I just question that constitutionally speaking.
So I hear you saying that, yes, we should be friends with Israel, but don't give them any money.
Right. Right.
What made America, why did we start giving them money in the beginning.
Well, let me just say this. My next door neighbors may need some money. I want to be friends with him, but that doesn't mean in order to be my friend, I'm going to give them my money.
Right. Yeah.
So we started this, however, this foreign aid under the socialistic style regimes of the FDRs of the world. And we started this foreign aid. We started the foreign aid, for example, when the international banks were established under FDR's regime. That would be in the World War II period. The United Nations wanted us to be, and FDR, even back to Woodrow Wilson, they wanted us to be a global government, a global system. And when they set up the League of Nations during World War I period, and Woodrow Wilson wanted us to get into it so badly, many members of the Congress at that time had enough backbone to say, this is unconstitutional. It is going to trump. It is going to override the sovereignty of the United States. And so we're not going to be part of it. They went back to the drawing board, and then we have World War II. Then we have FDR. He set up the United Nations. And the idea was, not only would it be an international body to oversee and override our decision-making in America, in many instances at least, but also they would set up international banks, such as the International Monetary Fund and World Bank and so forth. They set up these international banks. So we contribute, and Trump has been right all the time on this. He said, we contribute so many billions of dollars to these banks. Then third world countries borrow that money, and then they default on the loan, and then we pick up, the American taxpayer picks up the tab. That is wrong. So why have they done this? Because in the FDR administration, some of the staff members were saying in the White House saying, we don't want the idea that America is first and that everybody has to do their own thing. We want to drain the American taxpayer of our money. And so they do it through this pee and shell game, sending it over to international banks, and then they borrow it, and then we are stuck with the tab. Then it got so bad that in the time of John F. Kennedy in the 1960s, he set up also another system by which we would simply send it over direct aid just so quickly to foreign nations. And that's the one that the Republicans have pointed out that the Democrats have been raiding forever and ever. We just can't give away our money fast enough. And that's what's happening, because the globalists, internationalists have controlled our country and the direction of our policies for too long.
Amazing. So before all that happened, we were friends with Israel without giving them money. We were just friends, right? Before all that went down.
Correct. Okay. But Israel was not established until 1948. But it was actually a British mandate at the end of World War I, where Great Britain had a mandate, and that mandate was in order that it would be a British-controlled territory, and so the armies of Colonel Allenby marched into Jerusalem, put up the Union Jack, and so that's how that all happened. And so that British mandate, but they got tired of trying to take care of it because of all the unrest that was there. They came in and they pushed the Palestinians aside and said, hey, this is Jewish land. We're going to repatriate Jews to Israel. And so then finally, when the British said, we're tired of it, they walked out. The United Nations took over. They established the Jewish state, 1948. And so the rest is history.
Amazing. So one last thing about that. So should we just stop right now giving Israel or anyone, any country money? Mm-hmm. Should we just stop?
Well, I believe so.
Oh, okay.
I believe so. But I'm going to say this. I remember Ron Paul saying that you cannot, since you have a welfare system, he was talking about in the country.
Right.
In our country. He said, since you have a welfare system in which we have so many people reliant 100% on the government, yeah, you can't just cut it off, boom. You have to deplete it and slowly bring it out. That may be the case with foreign nations, because now we have created a welfare system on your back and on my back, where not only are we redistributing your hard-earned money to people in this country, unconstitutionally, but we're doing it to foreign nations also. Now they're reliant on us.
Okay.
So it may be people who are wiser than I on foreign policy say we need to just deplete it or tone it down, that is, step it down over a period of time. But I don't believe that it's constitutional to begin with.
Do other countries, including Israel, are there other countries that give America money?
That give America money?
Yes.
Not to my knowledge. We
nobody give us money.
Why would they give us money? We are the ones who give everybody money. Why would they give us money?
But no, I don't know. I mean, it just looked like if we, it seemed as though if we were giving other countries money in time of need, quote unquote. Are there ever a time of need when they need to give us money too, or do we just have all the money we never need anyone else to give us money?
Well, we don't have all the money we need. We're way, 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 way in the hole with $35 trillion in debt. And that's why Donald Trump says we're going to have tariffs. But who has been opposing that? The Democrats and all the neocon Republicans. He said we've got to go back to the tariff system so that American taxpayer are not shouldered with all of this debt. We cannot even service the debt. We're paying more on the interest on the money that we have borrowed from the banks than we're paying more interest than we have even funding the military.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. Well, I wonder if any foreign country will take off and service that debt for us. No, they won't because we're the dupes. We're the dupes,
but
not them.
I think that's so amazing that America is so rich and powerful that we give money to other countries, but no country give us money or any kind of help at all. Isn't that like amazing?
It is amazing. And the thing regarding, for example, just go back to where Biden and Kamala Harris have said, Kamala Harris went down to Central America, said, you know what, you got so many problems here, and here's how we're going to resolve the problem. We're going to pour you billions of dollars. We're going to give you money right here. You know what? If you go to the slums in any big city and say we're going to solve the problem, do you think that we're going to solve the problem by funneling more money?
Nope.
No.
For sure, no.
It doesn't. That doesn't solve the problem.
Right. So before we take this first break, it was reported that Obama gave a truckload of money to Iran.
Right. Right.
Should he have done that?
And, oh, no, no.
Why did he do it?
Because he's weak, and he loves Islam. He was weak as a president, and I believe that he was traitorous in giving that money to them. They have been our enemies. They threatened us and Israel. Why give them money?
Yeah.
Send them a plane load of money. That's ridiculous. And the American taxpayers are the ones who are suffering for it, because what happens is then our dollar is devalued. The more money we print, the more our dollar is devalued. And so we're suffering for it. So all of our prices rise in response to it. But that's because we've just print the money.
That's amazing. Judaism and Christianity, are we brothers?
Well, no. No, we're not.
But isn't it true that Christianity was brought in by Christ? I think we would call something else before Christianity. He dealt with the Jews. He established the Judaism religion. And then, what do those people call? Gentile. And so he like...
Oh, yeah.
He like,
you're talking about me. And you.
Right. He like the poor Gentile. They need Jesus too. And so he brought in the Gentile. And so as a result of Judaism, there is Christianity because we were brought into it. When I come back, I want you to respond to that.
Okay. That'd be great.
All right. 888-77-JESSE. Quick break, back in a moment. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God. It is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Okay, welcome back. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Bill Lockwood is here. And Bill, before we get back into the discussion, tell the folks how they can help you, where they should go, and your website and everything.
Well, thank you for that, Jesse. So the sermons that I preach, and I'm preaching right now, matter of fact, on Zionism, which I call Zionism forcing God's hand, that is a critique of Zionism. But they can be found on Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood on YouTube. And then I also have, of course, the podcast that I do, which is Patriotic Pulpit. To help me, there's a coffee account associated with it. I think it's I think James Hake's going to have to tell me what it is again.
it looks like ko-fi.com
slash Patriotic Pulpit.
Yeah, there we go.
Repeat it.
It's ko-fi, that is ko-fi.com/Patriotic Pulpit.
Amazing.
There we go.
And
thank you for that.
I want to encourage the people really to go there and help you. So what, Nick?
I said, of course. He said, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you're right. I have to rely on James for thinking, too. Hey, White. So, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about, so if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity. Am I wrong? Right. I was taught that growing up. And I remember reading the Bible in church and stuff like that, and they would point that out. I'm surprised you haven't gone to Israel. You have not lived until you go to Israel.
Well, it would be a great experience. I have a lot of friends who have gone, but every time I plan to go, there's bombs going off. So I think, well, maybe not a good time.
Right. So if there were no Judaism, would that be Christianity? And are we brothers? Judaism and Christianity, are we brothers?
Okay, so the answer to the last part of it is no. The first part of that is brothers, no. And we'll talk about why that's the case in the second part of the answer here. Regarding Judaism and Christianity, the Old Testament set up the law of the Israelites, and it was always designed to be a type, to be a preparation for Jesus Christ. It was always designed as one giant arrow coming to Jesus Christ. It was designed to be preparatory for Jesus Christ and the new covenant. That's what it was designed to do. Just as a prophecy is no longer a prophecy after it's fulfilled, it is fulfilled and it is completed, so also Judaism itself was in itself a prophetic institution that was set up in order to bring us to Christ. But now that Christ has come, we have no longer need. And I'm actually quoting here Hebrews chapter 8 through chapter 10. He says, now that Christ has come, we have no longer need of the Old Testament. So it was designed to bring us to Jesus Christ.
Right.
This is also exactly what Galatians chapter 4 teaches. He tells us very plainly in Galatians chapter 4 that, you know, and he gives the illustration of a child. When the child is not of age, then he is kept under tutors until the time that is appointed by the father. But now that we've come of age, we have no longer need of a tutor. Galatians chapter 3 tells us the Old Testament was a tutor to bring us to Christ. Galatians 3, 24 and following. It was a tutoring system to bring us to Jesus Christ. So it was designed to leave. So just like a school bus takes the children to the school, but the school bus is no longer needed when the children are already at the school. That is, of course, we're not talking about taking them home, but when they bring them to the schoolhouse, the school bus is taken away. That's exactly what the Old Testament, as Paul describes it in Galatians 3, the design of the Old Testament was to bring us to Jesus Christ. But now that Christ has come, we are no longer under the tutor. And that's exactly his wording in Galatians 3. So that is what Judaism was to be. Number two, regarding Judaism today, it is not the Judaism of the Old Testament. The Judaism today is Phariseeism. And the Phariseeism that actually was responsible for putting Christ on the cross. Anybody can read that in the Talmud today. The Talmud today has so many wicked statements made regarding Jesus Christ, telling us that he died on an animal heap like a beast, that he was the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier by the name of Panthera. It tells us that his apostles were also illegitimate individuals. It tells us that he went down to Egypt to learn magic and that he was a false prophet. The entire Talmud is filled with Jewish and Christian, or rather with Christ and Christian hatred. Christians also are people who, in the Talmud says, you should not do business with. And if they even have a kol nidre vow, which is to say, if you take a vow at the first of the year with a Gentile such as you, Jesse, then that vow can be null and void if you have that in your mind, that if you say, oh, I'm not going to keep my vow to this Gentile, you don't have to keep the vow because you're a Gentile. You're not a Jew. This is all Judaism, or rather should say Phariseeism, and it is exactly what our Lord opposed in Mark 7, verses 1 through 15, where he said that you void the word of God by your tradition. And that's what Judaism is. It's Talmudism, which is the same as Phariseeism, which was encoded. It was an oral law at the time of our Lord, but it was encoded in the Talmud in the second century after our Lord. But it is filled with blasphemous statements of Jesus Christ, blasphemous statements regarding Christian people, ugly, nasty comments continually. And so I'm always amazed to say, well, Jews and Christians are brothers and sisters. Well, what? They don't look at it that way, and that's not the way it is.
But isn't it true that even when Christ walked the earth, the problem was, is that, and still is that the rabbis, I guess, preachers, whatever they were called during Christ's time on earth, they were never for him anyway, right?
It
was,
correct.
It was the people who saw Christ for who he was and what he represented. And so it was the people who were following Christ, but the preachers and the rabbis and the teachers of those days, they never liked Christ because he was causing them to become independent and knowing God for themselves and all that. And the rabbis mm-hmm. wanted to be worshiped, and so they were deceiving the people by keeping them away from Christ. So they never... Is that the reason they wrote this book, the Talmud or whatever? Is that why they keep trying to make Christ look bad? Because they didn't want the people to follow Christ anyway.
Well, okay, so when Christ came to the earth, the basic idea of Judaism at the time, which was dominated by Phariseeism, even though Sadducees were the head of the Sanhedrin, Phariseeism was, and the Sadducees believed it also, was that there would be a physical kingdom, that Christ would sit on a literal throne in Palestine on the literal chair of David, and that he would lead them into battle against the Romans and kick them out of Palestine. That's the Jewish belief at the time of our Lord. He taught, and by the way, isn't it amazing that Zionists and premillennialists today hold exactly the same doctrine, which is really a doctrine of infidelity? They hold exactly the same doctrine as the Pharisees did at the time of our Lord. And yet that is so popular in Christian circles. That's absolutely stunning to me. But they believed in a physical kingdom. Any theory, Jesse, that does not take into account the fact that the Lord came not to do a physical kingdom,
right,
but to do spiritual work.
Yeah.
Matthew 1:21, save people from their sins. And that the cross of Jesus was always before him, because he was crucified as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. Any theory that does not take into account those two facts, he came to do spiritual work, and he came to die on the cross. Any theory that does not take those two things into account is wrong to begin with, and that is where Zionism is today. They tell us, for example, that Christ came to set up this physical kingdom that the Jews wanted. But somehow they rejected him, and so he pigeonholed his plans. He put them at the side in a mailbox. He said, we'll worry about that later. I'll give you the church now instead as an interim measure, and I'll come back later and do what the Old Testament told me I should do when I came to do it the first time, but the Jews rejected me and I couldn't do it. So I'll come back and do it later. That's premillennial dispensational doctrine, and it is infidelity, because it takes exactly the same position as Pharisees and says, no, the Lord was wrong to start a spiritual kingdom in the beginning with, and he should have given this physical kingdom, so he had to pigeonhole those plans, and he's going to put it off for a later date. So they say what? Okay, that's what's going to happen later. So their entire program, the Zionist program, is to do exactly that in the future, and that is give us a physical kingdom, a literal chair of David in Jerusalem, in Palestine. And that's what's going on, not only in our country, in the pulpits of Christianity, so-called, but is also one of the things, I think, that drives foreign policy.
Was Jesus a Jew?
Okay, this is a great question. I read several years ago a manuscript by a Jewish rabbi by the name of Benjamin Friedman, 1954. It was written on an old typewriter. It was about a 60, 70, maybe 100-page manuscript. And it was written to another rabbi by the name of Goldstein, and he began with this. He said, Jesus was not a Jew. I thought, what in the world? What are you talking about? And I just thought, that sounds so far-fetched. It sounds so crazy. So I picked it up and read the manuscript, and his thesis was this. He said the Jews today do not trace themselves to the bloodline of Abraham. They're not bloodline Jews from the biblical times. They actually are converts from the kingdoms of Khazaria in the southern steppes of Russia in the 6th century, where King Bulan, who was the Kagan there, the Kagan, or the that was the That was the king. His name was Bulan. He hired a number of rabbis of the Pharisees from the old country of Babylonia to come over and teach his people Judaism in order to quell some of the immorality that was going on. So the argument of Benjamin Friedman is this. He says that, and he quotes a score of historians to support it, and that is the Jews today are not the Jews traceable to the Jews of Jesus' day. They're actually people from the country of Khazarian Ashkenazi Jews and Sephardi Jews, which would be from Spain, and they are not bloodline Jews. And those Jews at the time of our Lord were lost to history, as the Old Testament prophets said they would be. Now, not only that, but here's something interesting. After I read Benjamin Friedman's manuscript, I read, there were several others. For example, Shlomo Sand is a Jewish rabbi who also put out a book and says the same thing. And then there was Arthur Kiesler, who wrote a book in the 1970s and said exactly the same thing. It's called The 13th Tribe. He said, no, the Jews today, and he's a Jew, he's a Zionist Jew. He said, we are not traceable to the Jews of the Bible. We are traceable only to the kingdom of Khazaria. And that's where our roots lie, not the Jews of the Bible. Then here's something even more interesting. There are two scientists who did DNA research at the University of Tel Aviv. One of them was the University of Tel Aviv, Hebrew University there. Another one here at the Johns Hopkins University, and he did DNA studies and said, that's right, the Jews today have no Jewish bloodline that is traceable to the Abrahamic Jews. They go back to Khazaria, and that's as far as it goes. They are not, they're imposters. They're not Jews of the time of Christ. They're not Jews bloodline traceable to the line of Abraham at all. So here we have an atheist by the name of Christopher Hitchens. He died a few years ago. He was a Jew. And he kind of quipped, he said, after reading some of this material, he said, you know what? I guess the, he said to be an anti-Semite, he said, I guess we're just semi-Semites. And I said, that's the end of it. So, but anyway.
What a mess.
So that is one of the big hoaxes of history, in my estimation, regarding the Jews.
So based on that, do you, are you saying that the Jews of Israel are not real Jews?
Correct. They're not Jews of the Bible. They have no claim to the land. They have no claim to Israel today because they're not bloodline Jews.
So where are the real Jews?
They're gone.
Gone where?
Dissipated by the DNA and the mixing races among all the peoples, just as Moses said would occur in Deuteronomy chapter 28, as well as other prophets would state later, they would disappear, they would be mixed among the peoples and lost because they refused to keep the law of God.
So the real Jews exist, it sounds like, but they're just kind of mixed up with everybody and no one really know who they are, what they are, when we see them. Are you saying they're out there, but no one knows because they're so scattered about?
Well, they're not just one person standing out there that says, hey, I'm a bloodline Jew. They're so mixed at this point that there's no one can say, okay, I'm a Jew from the time of Abraham. And here's something else interesting. If indeed the Zionists today want to establish, you know, Pete Hegseth even said, we want to have a next temple built in Jerusalem. Why build the temple? Why build the temple? The temple was a type of what we have now in Jesus Christ worshiping. Jesus told the best of the Jews, Nicodemus, he said, you can't get into the kingdom of God on Jewishness. You must be born again. John 3:3-5. But Pete Hegseth says, well, we're going to build the temple, or the Jews can build the temple at Mount Moriah again. Why build the temple? And who's going to officiate in it, Jesse? You have to be able to prove that you're of the tribe of Levi and of the family of Aaron in order to serve in the temple. But those records are lost. They were lost from the year 70 AD forward. No one can show that they're a Jew or a priest in the Jewish line.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's a lot. I'm black and slow, and I don't understand internet, but it's interesting.
Yes, you do. So, well, I tell you what, it's hard-hitting material, and I tell you, it's hard-hitting, but yeah. I know. And people might be all excited. I'm not looking at the thread of what people are saying, but I'm sure people are jumping up and down at this point talking, what? But you do the DNA researchers, you look them up. And this is something that even Christopher Hitchens, who was an atheistic Jew, he knew whereof he spoke on this one particular subject.
So one other question, because I want to ask you about the Zionism thing as well. Does Netanyahu and the Jews of Israel and the ones that are here in America, do they know they're not the real Jews and just pretending not to know, or do they think that they are the real Jews?
You know, I've got that biography of Netanyahu and I've not read it all, but he does talk about Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jews. And I think that his lineage is traceable to Poland, but I don't know specifically whether or not he believes and knows that he's not a bloodline Jew from the time of the Bible. I don't know that that be the case, but if not, perhaps he'll watch the podcast and do his own research on it, which I encourage many people to do, as well as all the Zionists, such as the John Hagees of the world and many different Baptist preachers. You know, they're all over the saying, you know, they give the land to the Jews because it belongs to them. They're not even bloodline Jews. And so, they lost the land because it was a conditional promise to begin with.
So one thing for sure, the blacks are not the real Jews?
That's correct. You know, but you bring up an interesting point, because in Africa, some of the Ethiopians say that they have Jewish blood in them, and that was some of their old traditions.
Yeah.
And the DNA research says, well, that probably is more accurate than even those people who are today living in Israel.
Really?
So there you go.
What
yeah.
A mess. And so, yes or no, Bill Lockwood don't believe that Jesus was a Jew.
Well, I'm going to say, let's clarify,
not
the Jew that is defined as a Jew today, but in the Jew of that time he was.
Oh, okay.
But a Jew today is redefined, and a Jew today is not the bloodline Jew of Jesus' time. So Jesus was not a Jew in the sense that he was not a Jew in the Pharisaical tradition, which is what Talmudism is today, but he was a Jew in the bloodline of Jesus. And he even told the Jews of that time in John chapter 8, he told them about his own bloodline, and they accused him of being an illegitimate son at that particular point in John 8.
That's amazing. And so the Jesus of that time, what color was he?
I think he probably looked like just like the people in the Mideast who are kind of halfway between me and you. I'm guessing that would be the case.
That's amazing.
I don't know, but.
And so what is the, what should the relationship be between the Jews and the Christians?
The relationship between Jews and Christians?
Yes.
The relationship should be that Christians need to preach to the Jews that unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born?
Right.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born anew. You must be born of water and spirit, that is, baptized and spiritual birth, water and spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. The relationship between Christians and Jews should be that Christians need to evangelize Jews in order to be born again, in order to become in the family of God. They are not in the family of God unless they are born again.
That's amazing. Okay, so.
Where do we go from here?
I know. Oh, I don't know what to do. Bill, are you able to take some calls?
Sure, we'll take some calls.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me take a break. When I come back, we'll take some calls.
Okay.
And I want to ask you about the Zionism thing as well. 888-775-3773-888-77-JESSE. Bill is going to stay over to take some calls, and I want to ask Bill because there's a whole lot of people like, what's up with Bill and Zionism? We're going to talk to him about that. Back in a moment. Hate news is not the fake news coming up right now. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God and Christ, Christ and man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. and donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
There's some serious mess going on in this here old world. Our greatest president trying to clean it up. Or is he adding to it? I don't know. New York Times reports, along with Revolver News, that 2,000 U.S. troops from the 82nd Airborne Division are to be sent to the Middle East. According to the failing New York Slimes, the order gives President Trump more military options as he considers diplomacy with Iran. You know, they have that Iran war right now. It's unclear where the soldiers will go in the Middle East. And according to Ground News, Pete Hegseth is disappointed with possible negotiated ceasefire with Iran, according to Trump. According to Trump, Pete Hegseth wants more war, as does the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, whatever his name is. He's urging Trump to escalate his Iran war and deploy ground troops, according to the New York Times. Interesting, huh? But Iran International says that Israel and the United States have granted temporary immunity from being assassinated, I guess, to a couple of Iranian officials during talks, according to this report, so that they don't get killed. The New York Post says that Trump says that Iran has agreed to no nuclear weapons in a major concession. Fox News reports that Trump touts a significant Iranian present, a significant gift linked to the Strait of Hormuz as the deal talks supposedly heat up. Now, Iran has been claiming, oh, we're not talking. They're still throwing bombs and stuff. But who knows what the truth really is? Most Americans say the U.S. military action against Iran has gone too far. But what do they know, right? That's what, according to some poll, Express U.S. says 52% of Trump voters say that Iran is a costly mistake. They now say that Iran is a costly mistake as the deadly war is escalating. According to World News, among MAGA, I had heard that 90% support the war. According to some NBC poll, MAGA hardliners make up 29% of Trump's 2024 voters. So, and that hasn't changed very much. Meanwhile, in America, Democrats have flipped a Florida state house district that includes Trump's Mar-a-Lago, and I think it was some woman who won. Emily Gregory defeated Republican John Maples, J-O-N, Maples, in Florida, House District 87, flipping the seat from Democrat to Republican, and that district includes President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach County. What's happening to Florida? Going down the tubes along with the rest of the country. So that's crazy. And I feel like there's something else going on. Oh, yeah, according to Mediaite, California University of Southern California, USC, private school down here. It's the opposition to UCLA, major schools, both of them. USC has canceled the governor debate, the California governor debate, over purported, quote-unquote, blowback for the candidates all being white. They're all white, so they canceled the governor debate? Make it make sense. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It has been with guest Bill Lockwood, who is continuing into the second hour coming up right very shortly here. We will get to your calls. We'll get to your super chats as well. There were some super chats from yesterday that we didn't get to yet. It is hate news, not fake news, and JLP will be right back, okay? To Bill Lockwood, your calls, super chats, and more great stories, all right? All right. And according to CNN, Commie Nonsense Network, ICE agents have been sent to airports across the USA. Now some Democrats are raising a new concern. Could polling places be next? Wow. Why are they afraid of polling places? The Trump administration's move is fueling alarm on the left that the immigration enforcement could spill into the November elections. Around 1,000 U.S. soldiers from the U.S. Army's 82nd Airborne Division expected to deploy to the Middle East, maybe 2,000. in the coming days, adding to growing U.S. military presence there as Trump administration's promoting talks with Iran to end the war. That would be nice. I'm James Hake. Now back to the J.C. Lee Peterson Show, Hour 2.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question for this week, why are women assumed innocent and men assumed guilty? Why are women assumed innocent and men are assumed guilty? That's the biblical question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show, JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and you just got to go and do what you got to do, you can podcast the show, but you can listen on your phone as it is happening and doing whatever you're doing by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, or bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's the second hour of the show on Wednesday. The third hour is Manhood Hour. First 2 hours on Wednesday is because we love the blacks and is black excellence. That was then when America was amazing. And this is now. This is black excellence. What's wrong with the blacks?
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody can actually know.
There's no love in the blacks.
Everybody hates us.
No.
Not all, but most.
Right. So that's what's wrong with the blacks.
That's what's wrong with the blacks.
I love the black. Love black. Bill Lockwood is here, and he's here every end of every month, and we're holding him over today because he has the time and it's interesting. Bill Lockwood is the host of Patriotic Pulpit and Bible Study with Bill Lockwood. He is a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ. And what is his website, Nick? Say that again.
Support him. You can also support him donating via Ko-Fi. That's Ko-Fi. .com/patrioticpulpit.
All right. So Bill and as y'all all know by now, Bill is one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven. And he's getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Bill, my biblical question for this week, why are women assumed innocent and men are assumed guilty?
Well, that's a good question. But, you know, if you're in a Muslim country and a woman is accused, or a woman accuses a man of rape, she is accused, she is accounted as the guilty one because her testimony only counts one half of a man. So we've flipped it over here in America, and that is when a woman makes an accusation, whether it's true or not, then we like to accuse the man and consider him guilty until he proves himself innocent. And I don't think that's correct at all. But I guess the why of that is simply because of the culture that we've established, and that is where we put women's rights above common sense so frequently.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, I appreciate that. I can't respond to that until Sunday, if the Lord is willing. And the crypto right. Yeah. So, Bill, yes or no, because I want to ask you about the Zionist thing. So Christianity would exist even if Judaism did not exist?
So God set up the Jewish system with the Israelites in the Torah, that is Genesis through Deuteronomy, and he set it up in order to prepare the way for Christianity. It was all in type. It was all in preparation for, it was a shadowy system to prepare people for Christ. Because as Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, the blood of bulls and goats, this is chapter 10 actually, verses 1 through 4, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. It was designed therefore to cause men to say, how can I be saved? And to turn their attention to the blood of the eternal Son, Jesus Christ. So it was designed that way. It was designed to disappear at the time of Christ. But Phariseeism continued on, and Judaism today is Phariseeism. So it was designed to disappear just as the prophecies were to disappear. That does not carry the validity still. So it's just when a prophet, for example, when a prophet gave a prophecy, for example, Micah 5 and 2, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, is that prophecy still carried on? Well, no, the prophecy has been fulfilled, and we can compare the fulfillment of it with the prophetic statement that was made in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2.
So does that mean, yeah, yes, Christianity would exist, even if there were no Judaism, Christianity would be?
Well, are you saying if there was no Judaism today?
Period.
Well,
I mean, as a result of Judaism, did Christianity come about?
Christianity did come about because God set up the Jewish system, is Judaism, in the Old Testament. That's how it came about. That's correct.
What do you say to the people who are mad at the Jews because they say the Jews killed Jesus? Are they mad? What do you say to those people?
Well, number one, I would say, first of all, it is not inaccurate to say that the Jews killed Christ. That's exactly what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. He said, they drove out us. He's talking about the apostles. They drove out us. Please not God. They're contrary to all men. And he said, they killed Christ. All of these things Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2, 14 through 16. And then he says, the wrath will come upon them to the uttermost. However, I would say it is not something that we should carry around to say, I'm mad about it, because I'm thankful that Jesus gave his life. He at the same time gave his life for us. And so that his historical fact 2,000 years ago should not bother me and say I'm angry at anybody today. As we've already pointed out, the Jews today are not traceable to the Jews of the time of our Lord. They are converts from the kingdom of Khazaria. So there's no reason to hold people today responsible for what happened to Jesus in the year 33 AD.
Amazing. Then Nick want to ask you a question about the black thing, to be clear about it. And Hake is coming in to read some of these super chats for you, and we're going to take some calls.
Okay.
ask him about the black thing.
I don't have a clear question on that, no.
But you said it's...
I remember now. You know, doesn't...
all of a sudden, he forgot.
You were saying that, they can only be traced back to the Khazarians.
Correct.
I guess James was saying that, he was asking, then you're saying then the blacks definitely can't be the Jews, but doesn't that also, can you also kind of say they could be with your theory?
Well, first of all, this is well documented by historians and has simply been covered up for many, many years, or at least not exposed. There are many historians, Jewish and others, as well as DNA studies, who say that the Jews today are traceable to the kingdom of Khazaria. Whether or not the blacks are Jews or not, I don't think there's really a viable question as far as that is concerned, because the Jewish DNA from the time of Abraham has been dispersed among peoples, and so it is just as well to say that a person in Ethiopia could have some Jewish DNA as well as a person in living in Israel saying, I'm an Orthodox Jew. That's all I'm saying. But it's to say that we're full-blooded Jews. No, there are not any full-blooded Jews from the time of our Lord. Matter of fact, let me...
That clear?
That make sense, Nick?
Yeah. Yep.
If I've not been clear, I want to try to clear it up.
No, it's clear. No, I just... My question is not even that. It's not even good. Let's move on. But appreciate
that. That was not the question?
You got it. Thank you. That made it clear what you were saying.
What do you mean your question wasn't good?
No, it's just, it's silly. Let's move on.
But that's not a silly, because when he said that thing about Ethiopia, that did look like the blacks may be the Jews.
No, well.
Why are you doubting yourself, Nick? But go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say, Jewish DNA is dispersed. So to say so-and-so are the Jews from the Bible times, that's just a misunderstanding. There's no person today who can say, I'm a Jew and I trace my line back to the time of Abraham. You can't do it. It cannot be done because the DNA has been so dispersed. Just the same as today, people who have Indian cards in America, you might find some people who are full-blooded Indians. That's true. But many people say, well, I've got an Indian card. Well, I'm 1/64th Cherokee Indian. Well, does that make you an Indian? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I just, you
it
know.
It makes you a half-breed.
Yeah, I bet one, that's right. Or a 1/64th breed. I don't know. But that's the deal that has been dispersed and disseminated among the peoples in the DNA.
Amazing. Hake has a question for you.
Okay.
We wouldn't recognize Abraham's DNA if we saw it, right? Or no?
So, you know what? I'm not certain about that. I will say this, that here's how, this is Dr., and I mentioned a couple of them. Here's Dr. Aaron Ilhak, who is the Israeli-born Jewish researcher, Johns Hopkins Medical University in Baltimore, Maryland, and he was confirming what Dr. Oriella Oppenheim, who in Tel Aviv in 2001, her finding was the Jews are not descendants of Abraham. In fact, they're Turkish and Mongol stock. So it doesn't matter whether you can recognize Abraham's DNA or not. They're saying it's Turkish and Mongol stock, which is definitely not Abrahamic or not Jewish. So here's Dr. Aaron Ilhak. He says that the DNA studies today, they're traceable once again, he says, and this is DNA, to Khazaria. So whether or not you can identify Abraham's DNA over here is beside the point. The point is that the DNA that the Jews possess today is traceable only to Khazaria, which has no connection with Abraham's stock.
That makes sense, Hank?
Yep. I have some super chats for Bill.
I do remember holding that for a minute.
Okay.
Bill, because of time, I want to just understand this. You talk about, you've been teaching about Zionism.
Correct.
And so as a result, I'm told that that's trending. What is the definition of Zionism?
So as I thought I gave it out, if I didn't, I meant to give it out earlier, and I apologize for that. So Zionism is a nationalistic colonial movement for the reestablishment of Israel in the borders of Israel, of people who are of Jews today in the Israelite territory, and to establish their borders and to maintain their sovereignty over the land. And the question has been, of course, how much of the land is theirs and so forth. But that's what it is. It is a nationalistic, colonial-style movement in order to create the Jews in that land and create national sovereignty borders. That's Zionism.
Oh, okay. And which well-known politician identifies as Zionist?
Well, Ronald Reagan did, for one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan did. And also Jimmy Carter was himself a Zionist. Jimmy Carter was. Ronald Reagan apparently was. I mean, so a lot of materials I've read, it seems to be that that's what he believed was the case. So there are a lot of politicians who believe that to be the case. And so the United Nations established that country in 1948. And it was not, as Pete Hegseth says, a miracle. It was actually a mandate from the United Nations, which was controlled by, and they had the Security Council, which consisted of not only the United States and Great Britain, but consisted of China and, at that time, the Soviet Union. And they had one other country upon it, which I've forgotten what it is. So those are the ones who established it.
What the? So we have some super chats for you, and then some calls. Yeah, okay. Hake is here. Okay, Hake.
All right. Over on pill.net, Pastor Chatelet asks,
Joe Hake. How come you're not sure, Hake?
Oh, he will. He's kind of working it out.
Oh, okay.
Does Bill think that Christ already came back asking for a friend? Says Chatelet.
You know what? The Lord in the New Testament promises that he will come back in the future. So Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, he shall so come as you saw him going into heaven. Jesus came back, figuratively speaking, in the destruction of Jerusalem, Matthew chapter 24. But he came back, that is, the Lord returned also in many different episodes of history, and that figuratively speaking, he returned. But the Lord has not yet returned. The second and final coming of the Lord is still future. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, all of these passages and more also are still to be fulfilled in the future. But that does not preclude that there is a coming of the Lord, or there were comings of God in the destructive armies of Jerusalem, figuratively speaking, when Rome was destroyed in the year 70 AD, as taught in Matthew chapter 24.
Amazing. Thank you, Pastor Chatelet.
Cheddar Bob. Hey, Bill, the military grants that Israel receives circulates back into the American economy. Wouldn't that suggest that America has more of a control over Israel?
Now, how does that work again? The money that
we grant to Israel, according to Cheddar Bob, circulates back into the American economy.
All right. You know what? That circulates back. All of it circulates back. They give it back. Number one, it's still unconstitutional. You might argue all day long that 100% of the money that we give away circulates back into our economy. Oh, okay, okay. So we don't need constitutional authority to give money away. What are we talking about here? That has nothing to do with the Constitution. And that also is, I think that would be hard to quantify, wouldn't it? You could say, okay, some of it circulates back, all of it circulates back, whatever. I don't know. But has the question is, has the American Congress been given the authority by the Constitution to give away American tax dollars to foreign nations? The answer is no.
Thank you. Who was that?
Cheddar Bob. Bulgar Wolf. Hake asked Bill what he thinks of the Jews creating the Federal Reserve in the USA and creating communism and Bolshevism to take down Russia, Germany, Bulgaria, and the whole of Europe.
All right, so this is a big issue to talk about, but people such as Theodore Herzl, who was one of those Zionists at the beginning, was an atheist himself. So also was Vladimir Lenin. He was a Jew. So also were other Zionist leaders, Russian communist leaders. They were absolutely Jewish in their stock. That is, when we're speaking about Jews, we're talking about the Khazarian Jews. They were Jews, Ashkenazi Jews. So Vladimir Lenin, Leon Trotsky, Karl Marx, all of those people were communists, but they were Jews. So they did have designs on America and the free world in order to take the free world for communism. And so they are indeed Jewish stock. And many people don't recognize that to be the case. But many of those Russian leaders, the Soviet leaders at the beginning and communist leaders, most all of them were Jews. And that's the ones who were in control of the Bolshevik Revolution. So also they exported communism to foreign nations, whether it be Bulgaria, Romania, so forth. They exported communism all over the world.
Because we have calls for you, Bill, and super chats, you're going to have to answer a little faster.
Okay, I'll go.
A little shorter.
All right, super chat.
Super chat, yeah.
All right.
Any morning, Bill, Trump announced the USA will be reimbursed for the cost of this military operation, $200 billion, via Iran oil. What do you say to that?
Who is that from?
In Heat.
In Heat, okay.
I say that's great. I hope that we are. If that holds up, I think that's great that we are. I still question the wisdom of fighting wars. We've been at war ever since I've been alive. We're still at war technically with North Korea. We simply have a temporary truce. Are we going to be at war continually? That's the issue. I am happy that we'll be in reimbursed. And I appreciate Trump doing that. And I appreciate Trump and all those kind of issues. Okay, I'm trying to be quick here.
Bulgar Wolf. Hey, ask Bill if he's heard of this particular Russian mathematician who had discoveries on the origins of Jesus and Christianity. And I can't say the guy's name.
You can't say his name?
Right.
Is it disallowed or you can't pronounce it or what is it?
Disallowed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll pass that along.
If you pass it along to you, you can respond on your show.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. But yeah. You know, the goal today for many people in Judaism is to denigrate Jesus Christ and to tell us that he was not who he said he was. So I'm going to take that with a grain of salt, no matter how that comes with, because that's very common stock anymore.
Let me ask you two quick questions, Bill. People have asked me to ask you about. So the Jews, so the Bible, Jews are not described, Jews are described in the Bible as God's chosen people.
Correct.
And so is that true?
It was true.
Okay.
And God chose them in the Old Testament, but God chooses Christians today. Listen to what Paul has to say. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction? This is the Jews. That he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he called not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. As he said in Hosea, I will call that my people who are not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved, and in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living God. That is to say, Christians are my people, from Jews and Gentiles. So Jews were God's people in the Old Testament, but today Christians are. And that's Paul's statement in Romans 9, 23 through 28.
And what would you say to people who give, what advice would you give to young people who opposes Zionism?
Well, I would give advice, number one, to study the Bible and not fall in the track of the Zionists, because they need to understand what is actually taking place. And I would encourage them to read widely, read things that you disagree with, read things that you agree with, but read the Old Testament prophets and what they had to say, and not simply through the eyes or the lens of a Zionist. That would be one thing I would say.
If the Jews are scattered about everywhere and we're not sure who they are, why do people think that the Jews control everything in America?
Well, because the Jews today are from the kingdom of Khazaria. But so there are Jews today, and I don't deny that, but they're not traceable to the bloodline Jews of the Bible. But the Jews today seemingly do control very much the banking systems and so forth. I understand that, okay, many Jews are in control of those different things. But it's not talking about the Jews of the Bible, biblical Jews. Talking about Khazarian, Ashkenazi Jews. And they are seemingly controlling a lot of things. And I think that's, of course, that's a viable concern.
Does Benjamin Netanyahu control Donald Trump?
I hope not. I hope not.
You have more super chat?
Yeah, a couple more.
And then I take some calls.
Fazul, thanks, Bill. Where can I get that cool shirt?
I know, that's a nice shirt, you know.
You know, I think I'll have to look at my tag. I don't know where I got this one. My wife bought it somewhere, but it's she may have bought it online for me. I'm not sure where. I go to the Western shops, and some of the Western shops have this this particular pattern in it. So maybe that's...
Right on.
And yeah. Star of the Sea, Bill is confused in spreading proven lies, says Star of the Sea. And I don't know if that's referring to the Khazarian thing or what.
What is the proven lie? What I've said like 1,000 things on this particular program. What is the... So, you know what? Go ahead.
Star of the Sea, you can either call in at 888-775-3773. Or make your super chat clear. What did Bill say that was a proven lie? Let us know.
Anthony L. says, no one is a pure breed anymore. I agree.
Right.
Amazing. Thank you.
Right.
James H., three coffees. Why are some so-called supporters of Trump already second-guessing his decisions on the military situation with Iran? We elected him as our commander-in-chief. He has access to intelligence and real-time info. Rest of us don't. Speculating wildly or jumping to conclusions is insane. Why not have a wait and see? Let the great white hope do the job he was elected to do.
Well, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy. I'm still a supporter of Donald Trump. I support Donald Trump because the other side is absolutely, they're gone. But I'm going to say this, that does not preclude me from questioning some of the wisdom of what we're doing now. One of the things that Donald Trump said as he was running for office, campaigning, he was tired of us being involved in foreign wars. Well, we're first year in his office, we're involved in a foreign war. It just makes me question it. I didn't say, hey, I know that I got the inside scoop. I know that he's wrong on this, but I think, wow, what are we doing here? And I'll say this, that the gas prices and all of the prices across the board are going to be extremely high, and Trump is going to feel that in the election booth this fall.
And last one from Ronnie in Ohio. I have a somewhat silly question. Can we get Mr. Lockwood to say suffering succotash? Same for Uncle Jesse.
Suffering succotash. I guess that's a good little comment. Yeah.
What did that mean?
It's
a cartoon. It's a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Suffering.
I guess it would be... I guess it would be the putty tat, you know, or, you know, anyway, Tweety Bird cartoons. I guess that's
Ron,
what it is.
From thank Ohio. You. Thank you, Ron.
And thank you, guys. That's all for Bill.
Amazing. Let me go to Mays out of Dayton, Ohio. Mays, you are on with Bill.
Hello, heathens.
Hey, Bill, Mays, how are you?
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we always talk about Israel. When did it start to exist?
When did what?
Israel become into play.
When did Israel come into play?
Yes, because there was no Israel. Were there before they put those
right.
people there? Okay.
You want to know when did Israel come into play?
You're correct. So Israel came into play in the 1890s when there were many people, such as James Balfour, who is in the turn of the century, who is the British foreign minister, was trained by Jewish rabbis at Oxford University, and he believed that we need to have a state for the Jews. Theodore Herzl, who is an atheistic Jew, wrote a pamphlet, said, we need a home for all the Jews in Russia and other places. We need a home for them, and he suggested Bolivia or even in Palestine. But they had no home, but the British got involved under the leadership of James Balfour at the Balfour Declaration. And so they made a British mandate. The British came in there, took it over, and they made it a home for the Jews under the British mandate. Then the United Nations took over in 1948, created it a state.
So what was the Palestinians before?
Mays, hold on. Let me, can you hold Mays?
Does that make sense?
Did that make sense, Mace?
It's when we get finished, it might make some.
Oh, but right now, that didn't make sense?
Yes, it's making sense what he's saying at the moment.
All right, hold on. Bill, hold on. Let me take a quick break. Back okay. in a moment.
Okay.
Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com, RebuildingTheMan.com/stores, and get Punchy's coffee. Okay, welcome back. 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. Like the videos. Don't forget to like the videos. We have a brand new episode of The Fallen State this Friday, if the Lord is willing and the Crete don't rise. I had an interesting discussion with Lewis Herms. He is currently running for governor of California as an independent candidate. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
What does it mean, independent?
I don't choose a party. The D versus R is a divisional control. When they divide, what do? They conquer. We're going to have almost an antichrist that comes through as a Republican if we don't wake up.
The crime is so bad. I'm afraid and I'm black.
Are you?
As it is to say.
We can't go in here with fear. We're in a spiritual battle right now.
Yes.
Right? If we take back our state, we take back our country. That's the reality.
That's for sure. Amazing. Don't forget, you can support the Fallen State by becoming a member there on a YouTube channel. Or jesseleepeterson.locals.com. And the Hake Report is coming up at 9. The Hake, H-A-K-E Report. You white. The guy with the good hair at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11. And then at 11 to 1, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby from 9 to 1. Energy given to him by God. From God. From 9 to 1, the American Anchor Baby. Check him out. I want to go quickly back to Mays out of Dayton, Ohio. So, Mays, you said you understood the first half of your question, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So, now, get into them being put on the Palestinian property. Were the Palestinian Jews before they put those people over there?
I didn't understand the question.
Repeat. Were the Palestinians considered themselves Jews before they were putting... Before they put those people on their property?
She's asking, before they put the Jews, according to Mays, the Jews on the Palestine property.
Israelis, I'm not talking about Jews. I'm saying, were they Palestinian Jews before they put the Israelis?
Were they Palestinian Jews before they put the Israelis?
Okay, the people that lived there were Palestinians, that's correct. The British government, and then later the United Nations, supported by the United States.
I'm saying, were they Jews or what were they?
No, they're not Jews. They were Palestinians.
Palestinians.
That's
so,
right.
If they were Palestinians, how did they become Jews if that was Palestinian land? So where did the Jewish part come from?
They didn't become Jews. They pushed the Jews. They pushed the Palestinians out and put Jews in.
And just like they did doing now, they're pushing the Palestinians out, and then they're not going to be there anymore. They're going to take it out, and it won't be in the Bible. Just like the Bible, if you had one before, they were put there, and a Bible after they were put there, you don't see anything in the Bible today but when they were put there. Do you? Can you find it in the Bible?
That they were put there today? No, what's going on today?
In your New Testament, can you find it in there?
Nothing in the Bible about Jews today in Israel.
What I'm trying to say is the Bible, before Israel was put on that land in Palestine, Palestine, it says, will always be Palestine. So they're going to change the name after they push the people out. So the same, you keep talking about the New Testament, and in God's law, it said, let no man change it. So who changed his laws? And who changed the Bible?
No one changed the Bible.
And Ethiopian has a Bible too, right? And have you read the Book of Enoch?
Mate, hold on one minute. Does Ethiopian has a Bible? Have a Bible?
Okay, so she's referring to the Apocrypha books such as the Book of Enoch and so forth. All of those have been rejected, and they've been known for centuries rejected because they're not apostolic in origin, and they are spurious documents.
Really?
Oh, that's where correct.
That's where you're going. So why was that taken out?
That's
why
there was
the
not.
Burnt? Those are the burning Bibles that they used to talk about.
Okay. Hold
on, Mace. Slow down. God, we got so many calls for Bill.
I have something to do.
Number one, hold on. No one took anything out of the Bible. They never were included in the Bible because they were not recognized as inspired material from the apostles. So they're never included.
Why?
So no one took them out.
Why?
Because they were not inspired.
Well, why do people know about them? They're not inspired to you. They might be inspired to somebody else. Maybe they'll explain some of the stuff that we're looking at. And so then when they went down to Egypt land, who was Pharaoh went down to Egypt land when Moses went down there and told him to let his people go? Who are those people?
So this is why you need to study history, Maze.
Hold on, Maze.
I studied the part that you took.
Maze.
All right.
Let Bill respond. Hold on.
Go ahead.
All right. The Bible was already settled at the conclusion of the first century. They had the Bible. They knew the Bible. We know the scriptures. From the time of the early second century, we know what was in the Bible. The Ethiopian Bible, the Book of Enoch, that has nothing to do with the Bible, had nothing to do with God's word. That's something that came up later. That has nothing to do with God's word.
Well, isn't the Ethiopian Bible older than your Bible?
Is it the Ethiopian Bible what?
Isn't that Bible older than the one that you go by?
She said, it's the Ethiopian Bible older than your Bible, the Christian Bible.
It depends on what she's talking about, her Ethiopian Bible.
Well, you don't
Bible.
Understand now.
Well, what Bible are you talking about? What book
Ethiopian
are you talking
Bible
about?
Bible come before your Bible come. You said somebody needs to study and do stuff. I study what you leave out and don't put want to be known and erase it so it won't be there anymore.
All right, give
so
me the
you
date.
Study the things
give
that me, you want to know about.
Mate, I got to go, mate, because you won't even let Bill respond.
Okay,
he's trying to get in, and you're just going on and on.
He's been talking all morning, so he's not giving me an answer.
Whenever he's about to speak, you're talking over him.
I'm listening.
Okay, what is the date of the Ethiopian Bible?
We're not talking. It's older than the one that you were abiding by.
So you don't know. I can't answer the question. You don't know. You don't know what it is.
I know. But I want you to tell me.
What is the date, man?
What's the date of it?
You're the one that's gospel. What's
the date?
I don't have to give a date. Find out for yourself. I don't like to give people stuff. I like them to look themselves.
All right, man. Okay. Don't mention something if you're not going to get a date.
She's tricky.
Oh, man.
And tell him to go and read through Deuteronomy. See what he finds.
I know, but I'm not going to tell you.
I know. That's amazing. Man, yeah. Thank you. I got to run. Thank you, man.
Have a good one.
You too. 888-77, Jesse. Let me go to Brian out of L.A. Brian, you're on with Bill Lockwood. I mean, Louisiana, L.A. My bad. Louisiana.
Hello, Jesse. How you doing?
All is well, Brian. You're on with Bill.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I got a question for Bill, and I got a question for you, too. Last hour, y'all were discussing the Jews, right?
So what? Speak right into your
y'all
phone.
Y'all were discussing the Jews and the Bible, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And your response was, what do the blacks and the Jews have something to do with the Jews? Why do you, Jesse, always got to throw the blacks in there? We were just talking about the Bible. We ain't talking about no black and white. We ain't talking about no Christianity. What they got to do against the blacks?
Oh, now, so I don't know why we Maze and Brian. Brian want to know is, why did I ask you, we were talking about the Jews, why did I ask you if the blacks were the Jews?
Well,
because of people, yeah. The blacks be trying to act like they're the Jews. They say they are.
Yeah. Hold on,
how do we act like we're somebody? We act humanly. We act like a human.
You don't hear the blacks saying that they are the Jews?
In no such way. I don't even hear the white saying they're the Jews.
But you ever hear the blacks say that they're the...
Here we go again. Here we go again.
What are those blacks calling
themselves? No, I listen to people.
The black Hebrew Israelites?
Well, you ever heard the blacks say that they're the blacks? Israelite? Hebrew Israelite?
I listen to people.
Have you heard that, Brian?
No, I listen to people, what people say.
Brian.
Jesse.
Have you heard the blacks say that they're the black Israelite Jews?
I never heard the white say it either.
I asked you, have you heard the blacks say it? I asked you about the white.
I asked, did you hear the white say it?
Brian, I ain't got time to be playing today. Let me go to Jerry out of Virginia. Jerry, you are on with Bill Lockwood.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Bill. Got a question for you. If the Jews of today aren't the real Jews, then what was Hitler doing?
So that's exactly why Arthur Kiesler wrote his book, The 13th Tribe, in 1977 or so, to show that Hitler was absolutely wrong in killing the Jews because he said they're not the Jews of the Bible. Arthur Kiesler was a Zionist Jew himself, and he said, we are traceable to Khazaria, and he was trying to defend the Jews of today against Hitler. That's why he wrote the book. But it backfired because many Jews today say, whoa, you're telling us that we are not Abrahamic Jews from the Jews of the Bible. So I suppose we would have to say, direct answer to your question, that Hitler was mistaken on that as to who were the Jews. Just as many people are today.
Well, all I got to say is you're a smooth anti-Semite.
Yeah, well, that's true. And just like Christopher Hitchens says, you know, you can't be an anti-Semite. You have to be an anti-Semite because, you know, the Jews are not the Jews of the Bible. And it was just, he said that jokingly, but that's correct. That does bring up, Jerry, a great issue. And that is the accusation of being anti-Semite, it takes on a different color at this particular point. It takes on a different idea, doesn't it? Because
it does
being anti-Semite,
it doesn't for the real ones.
Well, it does for those who are not informed on the subject. It doesn't take on the different meaning. But for those who are informed,
yeah, the real ones ain't gonna be deceived.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let me go to a first-time caller out of North Carolina, Johnson. Johnson,
hey, you're on
with Bill Lockwood.
Hey, Mr. Bill Lockwood,
glad Johnson.
To hear from you.
Yes, sir.
I see that there's all the people who are arguing with you 10 years ago are still on the phone alive and well.
Yeah, that's right.
I just have a question. You know, what does it matter if these Jews have blood relations to them or not? Is it really a bad thing if we are supporting Israel? Because all these other people, it feels like we're supporting Chinese interests, Russian interests, and Iraqi interests when we're not wanting to combat evil.
Right. Johnson, you know what? That is a great question. What difference does it make? Number one, the Jews today have no connection to the land of Palestine. They have no deed to the land of Palestine from the Bible. And so that's number one, because it just blows out of the water all of the Zionists who are filling the Baptist pulpits, from the Robert Jeffresses of the world to the late Billy Grahams and other people, and John Hagee, who say that we need to do some armament over there and give them that land. They don't have a deed to the land. That's number one. So all of that is mistaken. Number two, regarding Israel being our friend, I believe they are our friends. I'm not saying they are not our friends, but I still refer back to the Constitution that we should be friends, but at the same time, we should not be in bed with anybody as far as giving them money and keep continuing to support them with American tax dollars. I don't believe that is correct. You may say at that time, in response, you may say, well, let's look what's going to happen to them if we don't. Well, how were they created? They were created by the United Nations. That's how it was done. They pushed the Palestinians out, put the Jews in there. And now Mike Huckabee says that they own all the land all the way to the Euphrates River. All right, so now what are we going to do now? Are we going to go all the way over there and take it to the Euphrates? That would be through Iraq, because Huckabee and the other Zionists say, hey, that belong to the Jews. He said that on Tucker Carlson. I don't know if you heard that or not, Johnson, but he said, yeah, they own all the land.
Huh. So yes. The problem is that Israel wants to encroach on more land. They're not satisfied with the land that they have. They need to take more and more, and they drag us in to problems because they want more land.
I agree with that. And I think, why haven't American people talked about, for example, the capture of the USS Liberty in 1967, or the invasion in Lebanon by the Israelis? Why have we not talked about their aggression on those things? We just kind of whitewash that. I think you've got a good point on that, Johnson.
Well, that's all the questions I have. Thank you so much for answering it. And now I understand what's going on.
Thank you so much, Johnson, for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Johnson. I appreciate it. Let me go to Washington State and talk to Uria. Uria, you are on with Bill Lockwood.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey. Good morning, Uria. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
Great. I've learned so much from you, hearing about American history and stuff. I have a question. What do you think about Genesis 13:15? It's the promise that God gave to Abraham, which I think is an important question, because if God breaks his promises or voids his promises, what's not to keep his son from voiding his promises? But it says in Genesis 13:15, God speaks to Abraham, says, "The land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever." So it doesn't say till the 1900s, and it doesn't say until Jesus. It just says forever. But if the offspring does not exist there, then I don't know, I guess God broke his promise. And the land that it's referring to is specified three verses later. So it says it's from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, or from the Red Sea to the Sinai Desert. So it gives a full enclosure of what the land that he sees is. And so if they're not ruling there forever, or if they stopped ruling there in the 1900s, what do you think? Does God void his promises? Will Jesus void his promise if they are related?
No, this is a great question, Uria. So it is not that God voids his promises. It is a misunderstanding of the word forever. The word forever frequently in the Old Testament is not referring to an unconditional time without end promise. For example, Genesis 17 and 13 was said to be that circumcision was to be a rite, that is R-I-T-E, that was to be kept by male Jews forever, but the New Testament shows that it is no longer valid in Christ. So it's not going to be forever in the sense of unending time. The same thing regarding the covenant And the Passover feast in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14 was said to be given forever. But in the New Testament, we are told the Passover feast has been replaced by Christ, and he is our Passover, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Or also in Numbers chapter 25 and verse 13, we have the fact is that the priests were to be kept forever. They were to operate forever. But the New Testament in the book of Hebrews tells us that that priesthood system was only a type that was replaced by Christ, and it was not to be an unending time condition idea. Not only so, but think about this, Uriah. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 29, God said that, and by the way, the entire chapter 28 is all of the promises were conditional. They were conditional upon their obedience to God. And he said this, if you do not keep the law of God, and if you worship other gods, you will be driven out and you'll be oppressed forever, forever. Deuteronomy 28, 29. So how is one forever running into another forever? That is, the word forever simply means continually, and that's how it's translated in many translations. So also we have, for example, in First Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, you remember the story of Eli? Eli was said to be going to be a priest, and his house would be a priest forever. God sent a prophet to him because his sons Hophni and Phinehas were disobedient. He said, I promised you that you would and your house would be priests before me forever, but far be it from me. That is to say, those who honor me will I honor, and those who forsake me will I forsake. Jeremiah 7, verses 6 and 7 tells us the same thing. Jeremiah understood it as simply a conditional promise that they would have to be fulfilling the conditions in order to keep the promise. So forever simply means continually. And we see that from whether it be the priesthood, Numbers 25, 13, the Passover feast, Exodus 12, 14, or also circumcision, Genesis 17, verse 13. The word forever is used in reference to all of those things, but the New Testament shows us they have been replaced, and it's not to be that we're keeping them today.
Thank you. I got to run, man, because of time here, and I want to get in at least one more call for you, but thank you.
Thank you, Ray, for calling.
The verse does not give conditions, though. It just gives a promise.
It does in Deuteronomy 28. It gives them continually, continual
conditions. Not to Abraham. Not to Abraham and his offspring.
It does.
You can't
it does
give repeat. Conditions to somebody that isn't born yet.
It does give the conditions of Abrahamic promise in Deuteronomy 28, Jeremiah 7.
Okay.
Jeremiah said this.
Deuteronomy
is what it is.
Also says, "Do not add more commands." So, what gives Jesus the right to add more commands? Deuteronomy 4:2. You will not add more commands. And yet you have this whole New Testament. It's all a whole new set of books. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to respond quickly with that to that, Bill?
Sure. You know, all right, the Old Testament tells us specifically that it was a temporary system. And it was a temporary system to bring us to Jesus Christ. That is exactly what the New Testament system is about. So Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. The law. He came to fulfill the law. It was a temporary system. That's Matthew 5:17. Go ahead, Jesse.
Harriet, out of Massachusetts, you're on with Bill, and we're like totally almost out of time.
Hello?
Yeah, Harriet.
Hello? Yes, Bill, I'd like to know, thank you for being so honest and may
ask
the Father protect
really
you.
Fast. Ask
okay, I would like to know about the name Yahweh. Don't they, like, practice and worship the God Yahweh, which is completely different than Jesus the Christ? And I also would like to know, they said that in Exodus 34:14, where it says that the name his name is Jealousy. So is God's name Jealous, Yahweh, yeah. Yahuwah, I mean,
Right.
I appreciate that. Well, I'll try to go quickly also. So Yahweh is W-H-Y-H, and we don't know the vowels.
Right.
So that is translated in the ASV and the King James as Jehovah. It's simply the name of God. But today's scholars don't like to use Jehovah. They like to use Yahweh. So they're going back. They're saying we're going back to the Jewish way of saying it, which I think that's illegitimate to do it that way. That's not necessary to follow.
Thank you, Harry. I appreciate it. Bill, your website.
Okay, so it's Bible studies with Bill Lockwood, as well as let's see, what was the other? Bible studies with
K.O.
and then Patriotic Pulpit, Patriotic Pulpit. So, and then we have a Ko-fi account also.
ko-fi.com/patrioticpulpit to support.
Yeah,
right. Bill, thank you. I'm totally out of time. I appreciate it. They worked you today, buddy.
Oh, that's okay. That's all great. That's great. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Thank you so much, Jesse. Right. Appreciate you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
So God bless you, man.
Some serious mess going on in this here old world. Am I right or am I right? This is the end of hour two already. Been 2 hours of Bill Lockwood excellence. Wednesday, 2 hours of black excellence. More like 2 hours of Bill Lockwood excellence. But shout out to those black callers on the Jason Lee Peterson Show and others. And JLP will be returning for the third and final hour of today's show, which is none other than Manhood Hour. Hang tight, callers. JLP will be right back to your calls. We'll get to your non-Bill Lockwood-related super chats and maybe any other super chats that were related to Bill Lockwood. And more great stories. It is hate news, not fake news. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, reports that President Trump indicated yesterday, Tuesday, that a deal to end the conflict could be in sight over in Iran. And that Vice President J.D. Vance said, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio were leading those negotiations. I heard that they preferred J.D. Vance to somebody. I don't know. While Iran previously denied any talks with the United States and trolled Trump with some missiles and stuff, an Iranian source did tell Commie Nonsense there have been outreach, quote unquote. What are they, Christians? Between those two countries. Isn't that nice? And Homeland Security's shutdown still, a standoff over the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, funding continues to drag on after 40 days. Has it been 40 days since Valentine's Day? I think February 14th was when it shut down. GOP leaders pitched their strategy to Trump during a Monday night meeting at the White House, but left without a clear sign of his support. They proposed funding DHS except for a small portion of the immigration enforcement budget, a concession to the demon rats, Democrats. But Democrats say the plan falls short and they're pushing for broader reforms to ICE. How about they should reform themselves? Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, not a Christian, also signaled Tuesday the proposal is insufficient, telling Commie Nonsense he plans to press for more. And a moon base. Space is real, y'all. And the moon is not local. Or is it? I don't know. NASA's new chief unveiled an ambitious vision Tuesday that includes a revamped roadmap for a permanent moon base. Hey, while the space agency, NASA does not mean lies, flat earthers, space deniers, has long held its sights setting on establishing a permanent settlement on the moon for astronauts to live and work. Huh. Tuesday marked the first time NASA has revealed a timeline for such efforts. Moon base will not appear overnight, duh, said NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman, adding the agency will invest about $20 billion with a B over the next 7 years and build it through dozens of missions. The agency will fund and execute the plan in ways that remain unclear, I guess. So we'll see what happens. Sora, OpenAI. You hear about Sora? OpenAI is the parent company of ChatGPT. They're winding down this other thing called Sora, a video generation app that they launched amid much fanfare last year. The app is being shuttered as OpenAI shifts focus to other priorities, including efforts to advance robotics that will help people solve real-world physical tasks, so said a company spokesman. So they claim, right? Adding the product's high compute costs required trade-offs, Sora quickly rose to the top of Apple's App Store after its September debut, but it soon drew scrutiny, copyright holders raising concerns over the use of intellectual property and people's likenesses. Critics warned that it could fuel misinformation and so-called AI slop. What a mess. Well, they're winding that down. I wonder who else will take their place. Epstein, the House so-called Oversight Committee, Tuesday released video of closed-door depositions with two longtime members of Jeffrey Epstein's supposed inner circle as part of their supposed so-called investigation into the late convicted Democrat donor and Harvard donor. They call him a sex offender. So, bunch of mess, honestly. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Manhood Hour 3.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. I apologize. I was trying to eat something while I was on break. I got hungry from all that. Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We are also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-773-7773-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, why are women assumed innocent and men assumed guilty? Why are women assumed innocent and men assumed guilty? Amazing, huh? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, you got to go to the work, gym, or wherever, and you would love to hear the show live. As it's happening, you can podcast and yet listen on your phone by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLPTalk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLPTalk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Wednesday, the third hour of the show. And every Wednesday, third hour of the show is Manhood Hour. What is a man? What is a man? Man.
It's an adult man. Human male.
Manhood. Hillary or President Trump?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Beta. Beta male. Yo, yikes. A man is a male returned to man. Alpha male. Live right, be right, and lead the way.
You're our hero.
He was long hailed as a civil rights icon and labor movement pioneer. Now California is quickly moving to erase Cesar Chavez's likeness across the state following bombshell sexual abuse allegations.
He means nothing to me.
of San Fernando here, the Cesar Chavez Monument, which has stood here for years. You can see within the last few hours, Public Works, they've been trying to remove the statue physically.
Tear it down! Tear it down!
The plight and the struggle of the farm workers continues on, but we are going to have to take a look at a variety of things.
What a mess! Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. The world gone crazy. People gone crazy. It is a spiritual battle. You guys can listen to Bill Lockwood if you go to, what's his website? Patriotic Pulpit. KO-FI.com/patriotic pulpit. All right. And you can talk to him over there as well. It's a spiritual battle. I was thinking of reflecting at this morning as I was watching some local news. The report came up that down in Florida, that there is a Democrat that is near where Donald Trump's home is down there, that it looked like they're going to take the seat away from a Republican. A female Democrat at that, will be taking the seat from a Republican there. And then in another part of Florida, flip the House seat. And then another part of Florida, they say on Fox News, they were predicting that or reporting that another Democrat going to take over the House seat there in another part of Florida. And so I was reflecting on the way that the people are reacting to the high gas prices and the food prices right now. And they're like overreaction to it. Instead of having a wait and see attitude, and they're acting as though before Donald Trump came in, all was well. They're acting as though the gas prices were low, the food prices were low. But during that time, the people were suffering. And they were reacting in the same way they were acting right now. They were saying, we are suffering. Egg prices are high. Can't buy eggs, and I can't buy this or that. And gas prices are high. And they are really, really overreacting instead of having a wait and see, right? Because Donald Trump said this is just temporarily. And so they won't wait for the temporarily just to see. It may or may not go down, but at least it was already high. It's not like it's new, all right? And so the people, like, really suffering, I mean, in their own mind, you know, reacting. So on Tuesday, Democrat Emily, well, anyway, down in Florida, two Democrats are flipping the House, according to a report, Ground News. And so the people are overreacting. And they were, like, crying and carrying on. And they're afraid and won't even wait and see what's going to happen. And what I noticed is that the only thing that the Democrats and the liberal media are doing, they're not making any changes for the good. They're not making anything better at all. They have nothing to offer. And then they are not working with Trump at all. Even if the president is trying to do the right thing to make America great again, and I believe that he is, they are making sure that everything he does doesn't work. They're trying to do everything they can to stop that. And it's being reported, that's why they won't pass this bill that they're trying to get through, that you got to have an ID to vote and you got to sponsor the border control people. And so they're stopping everything. And then what I notice about the media and the Democrats, and even some of the right-over Republicans, DHS, that's your name, they are constantly telling the people how much they're suffering. They are constantly telling you how bad things are. And it's going to get worse. As though they made it better. When they were in control, they're acting as though all was well under them. And it's not true. But all they ever do every day, no matter what the president does, they tell you how bad things are. And they're going to get worse. And they put fear in you. Because they're constantly reminding you how bad things are and how bad they're going to get under Donald Trump. That's all they ever do every day. As though things were good with them, right? And because you are overreacting and then you hear these people constantly telling you how bad things are with Donald Trump, you... When I saw this flip from Republican House to the Democrat down in Florida, it was like, I noticed that when people are suffering, they overreact, and then a deceiver can come in and tell them how bad things are, follow me. How bad things are, follow me. That's what the devil tell you. The devil give you idea how bad your life is, and then he make a suggestion. And you take it, only for another train wreck. And when you're overreacting, that's what happens. And it reminds me of that story in the Bible about Moses, I believe it was Moses. When Moses was delivering the people from where were they?
Egypt.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Derek. Egypt. Remember Moses went and brought the people out of Egypt? And then, and so they were getting away from Egypt, and they were loving Moses for it. And they were like, happy, thank God you sent us help. You sent us Moses. And they loved Moses. They brought Moses water. They brought a gift to him and everything because he was taking them into the promised land. But just before they arrived to the promised land, Moses was like, I'm tired. I had to take a nap. I had to take a break. And plus, I got to go up to the mountaintop. And I got to go up to the mountaintop and find out, y'all wait here. Just relax. Calm down, everything's fine. And they were happy because Moses had taken them out of the promised land. And so Moses was like, I'm going to take a nap, I'm going to take a break. Then I'm going up to the mountain and find out what God want me to do from here. Y'all wait here. Okay, Moses, we love you. We're going to wait. Until you come back, okay? And they were loving Moses. They loved loved the fact that he was trying to bring oil into the land. Okay, go and get some oil. They loved the fact that Moses was Lord and putting the people first, America first, right? And putting them first, and they voted for Moses, and they loved Moses. Oh, Haken tell me they looked at the land of Canaan, but got scared, so they had to wander in the desert for 40 years. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. But anyway, the point is, they loved Moses. Moses was the great white hope. Moses was delivering them out of Egypt into the promised land. And so Moses said, okay, I gotta take a break, and then I'm going up to see what God will have me to do, and I'll come back and I'll let y'all know. All right? Okay, Moses. And so when Moses went up into the land, I mean up there to find out what God wanted him to do next, while Moses was there, another leader rose up. A few other leaders rose up, Democrats. They rose up. And they're like, where is Moses now? Moses is taking so long. What, Moses is supposed to be delivering you from Egypt. Moses is not coming. And now you're out here in the desert. You're out here in, you're going to be out here for 40 years. Reacting. Why are y'all waiting on Moses? Follow me. Knowing that these people had never done anything good for them anyway, the people overreacted. They overreacted and went right back into the situation that they had just left, as though they had left a beautiful place. And because they overreacted, they became afraid. They became angry. The Democrats were able to rise up and tell them, well, Moses is not coming back. What we're going to do is we're going to build a calf, and we're going to worship this calf. And the people did it because they overreacted, and they became afraid, and they became doubtful. And the gas went up for a minute, but they wouldn't wait and see if it was coming back down. And so what they did, it elected the same old people that had put them in bondage. And those people didn't prove anything. They didn't do great things to show the people, well, we didn't do the best thing for you in the beginning, but here's what we are doing now, and it's going to improve your life. You're going to be fine. They had nothing to offer. Just like the people had nothing to offer the people in the desert. And they would not wait for Moses to return, and they suffered. And my concern is that the Democrats are every day reminding you how bad things are, and they're going to get worse, they say. As though things were really good when they were in control, and they were not at all. But the people forget. They forget the suffering that they had. And they believe the lie, and they go right back to the same suffering that they left. I'm concerned now, and I could be wrong, and I want to be wrong, but I am starting to believe, unless things change, and I'm waiting to see with the prices and all that kind of stuff, the Democrats can take over again because the people lost. They're overreacting. They're afraid. And they're believing the lies of the Democrats and the liberal media that things are going to get worse under Donald Trump, but we'll do it better. We love you. We have you in mind. We have you in mind, they say. Isn't that amazing? And the people are going to vote in the same old devil that gave them nothing but hell for the last 8 and maybe longer years. When I heard that the Democrats were flipping the House in Florida, of all places, of that the people are reacting. They're afraid. And they're going to elect the same people that held them in captivity in, where did Moses deliver them from?
Slavery?
Egypt.
Egypt, from Egypt.
Yeah, Egypt. They're going to go back to Egypt. I hope I'm wrong, and I could be wrong. And because I'm hearing it all the time now, if Trump don't get things done by the midterm, the Democrats are back in. The Republicans are out. And I'm like, even if Trump hasn't brought everything back to order, before midterm, why would the people vote in the same people that caused them to suffer and enslaved them 8 years under the fall of Messiah, Barack Obama, and then another 4 years under Biden? Why would they want the same suffering? Things were not good with those people. How quickly you forget the pain and you go back to the devil. That's what happened with those people that was following Moses. They forgot about the pain that they had. It had a minute of relief. And then as soon as Moses has to go and find out what his next step is from God, they turn. Just as Trump is taking his next step to bring in oil, bring in tariff, and making things better, the people are turning, it appears. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. Hopefully I'm wrong. And in your own personal life, you do the same thing. You say to yourself, I am lonely. I want love. And then the next thought comes, go find love. And then you go and look for love, and you pick all the wrong people and bring it and cause another train wreck in your life. Because you don't know and you have forgotten that, let's say you said, I need love. I want love. But if you didn't go looking for the love, just stop at that first train wreck before that second thing, I want love, and don't go looking for love, you will find love. It will come. It will give it. It will be in you. And it wouldn't come from a person or place or thing. It will come from above. But you make the mistake of going and looking for love or looking for riches. You're looking for the biggest house, and all you do is create one situation, bad situation, to another one in your life because you don't know that everything you're looking for is within you. It's in you because you refuse to live from within. You love living from without and enjoying your misery. Enjoying your misery. And it's going to get worse for those who don't look within. I want to, it's Manhood Hour. I want to just show you what a train wreck looked like. There are so many hundreds and thousands of examples I can give you, but this is just one. This is from Fox 40. A Sacramento convenience store manager is fighting for thieves and disruptor to be held accountable after dozens of kids rushed power in Chevron shop on Thursday night. Watch this from Fox 40.
Here's what an employee working alone at a gas station convenience store might want to see through security devices. But within a second, things can turn from peace and quiet to sheer chaos and destruction. This is what the inside of Power in Chevron along Folsom Boulevard looked like Thursday night.
They feel that they can just walk in any store and pick up things and throw things and do whatever they can do and run away.
Store manager Sleeshan showing Fox 40 this security footage from the teen takeover. It starts with some apparent students heading into the store, but things rapidly escalate.
And it was just one employee out here, and they all do their hard work and try to also survive while working here.
Dozens of young people taking claim over the business. Sean tells us the cashier was frightened, not knowing how far the turbulence would go.
Isn't that amazing? Look how evil that is. But they call that black excellence. They call it black excellence. They are saying, oh, these people do it because of slavery. They do it because the white man is depressing them or suppressing them, whatever they call it. The store manager said this happens frequently and compounded his financial losses from declining gas sales. Watch this.
He tried to remain calm and called 911.
If he was trying to react to something, he would have been in the process of getting hit also, because the crowd was trying to throw candies to him.
Bags of chips flying through the air, a thunderstorm of candies and Slim Jims. Sean says these disruptive incidents happen all too often, adding the shop has had to replace their door twice within the past 6 months.
People who do all these things, they tend to be hostile also, aggressive also.
Now he's ready for people who target small shops to be held accountable. The store manager says with gas prices still on the rise, working at the shop and making a living is hard enough without added trouble.
With the current fluctuations of gas price, it's kind of hard to survive in this business. We are suffering loss already because people are now watching gas prices and are moving there. So we are missing customers, and so we are suffering losses here.
Amazing, huh? What would cause those people to do that? It's not good. It's not love. It's hate. And it's going to get worse. Because especially they appear to be blacks. And the blacks are not going to be punished for crimes. It just ain't going to happen. The so-called people of color are not going to be punished. They only punish white people now. Only. In the United States of America. Fox News is reporting that the man charged in a 2023 shooting that killed a pregnant Seattle mother, a woman, and her unborn baby has been found not guilty for reason of insanity. Watch this, Fox 13.
I'm standing outside what used to be a Berea Bento House, a restaurant owned by Ina Kwon and her husband. Today, you can see that the Berea Bento House sign is still hanging, but it is now known as Cafe Remix. It has since shut down, a painful reminder of the tragedy that's now taken a different turn in court.
In June of 2023, Ina Kwon, 8 months pregnant, was shot and killed while sitting in the car with her husband, Sung Young, in Belltown. Their unborn daughter, Evelyn, did not survive. Now, nearly 3 years later, the case is not going to trial. After the defense raised an insanity plea, prosecutors hired their own expert.
Both came to the same conclusion that he was insane at the time of this crime.
Washington versus Cordell Goosby.
This means Cordell Goosby admits to the shooting, but will be committed to Western State Hospital.
He has the potential of being committed under this NGRI up to the maximum term of life for the charges.
Prosecutors make it very clear. This does not mean he is being released. If that's ever the case, the state and family would be notified and can object. They also say this case took years because of the competency evaluations and mental health reviews required by state law.
Amazing. All people who commit crimes are insane. That's why they commit the crime. No matter what the crime is, insanity causes you to do it because insane, anger, resentfulness, revenge, and jealousy, and strife is all insanity because it's straight out of hell. That's why it's been said that angry people are evil, and you should not and cannot trust an angry person because they're insane. They're evil. And that's why it's been said you got to overcome evil with good, with the love and the nature of God. And it's going to get worse. The local community feel true. I got to take a break. Yeah, I was looking at the clock. Thank you. Anyone with anger is evil. Anyone. And you justify your anger. Who will I be if I don't be angry? I need anger to protect myself, you say. Quick break. The treasure chest is now open on DLive and stretch off on pules.net. Back in a moment. Anytime you have situations happening in your life, always be still. Don't overreact. Most of the people that I know, they say, oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm an observer. And as soon as something don't go their way, they get mad. I'm like, what the? If you overreact, folks, remember to do that. Don't overreact. And when you get mad, it's your problem. It ain't your wife's problem, your husband's problem, your neighbor, your friend, your preacher, your teacher. It's your problem. Why do you think you tick? It didn't go your way or the way you think it should go. Don't have a way you think it should go. Let life just happen. Thoughts made you think that life should go the way you want it to go. And if it doesn't, if someone don't do or say or act the way you think they should act, you hate them. And then you blame them for being mad. It's the darnest thing I ever seen. But it's amazing to see it. So relax. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. The Hake Report from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then after the Hake Report, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby. At 11, right after the HakeReport.com. And last but not least, support us. Like these videos, by the way. Then support us by going to RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-2663 or stretch off. What is it? No, scan the QR code. Scan the QR code to support Barn, all right? I appreciate it. We have a brand new episode of The Fallen State this Friday, if the Lord is willing, and the creeks don't rise. Lewis Herms, H-E-R-M-S, is running for governor of California as an independent. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
What does it mean, independent?
I don't choose a party. The D versus R is a divisional control. When they divide, what do? They conquer. We're going to have almost an antichrist that comes through as a Republican if we don't wake up.
The crime is so bad. I'm afraid and I'm black.
Are you?
As it is to say.
We can't go in here with fear. We're in a spiritual battle right now.
Yes.
Right? If we take back our state, we take back our country. That's the reality.
That's for sure. Amazing. This Friday at 11 a.m., right after the Hake Report. And you can support the FallenState.tv by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or JesseLeePeterson.locals.com. I just want to finish this soundbite where these people went into this convenience store, and as you saw it, according to the report, just destroyed it. And having fun, destroying other people's property. The local community feel true justice has not been achieved. the victim families has moved to Texas to grieve and seek a way forward. Fox 13.
While this resurfaces the family's heartache, the neighborhood is also mourning the expecting young mother.
I think it's really unfortunate. I think that what happened was so tragic, and to not get any sort of justice or resolution out of the situation is pretty unfortunate.
Days after the shooting, the couple's restaurant became a place for the community to grieve.
Passing by and just seeing all the bouquets of flowers that people were leaving and how it would grow from like one day to the next, and just like the community support that was there.
After the shooting, Ina's husband closed up shop, later reopening. But according to Ina's father-in-law, ultimately, they've shut down and moved to Texas.
I hope that they are happy in Texas and finding a way through what's happened.
While the courts will continue to monitor Goosby's treatments and future decisions for the family, the question of justice still lingers.
Amazing, huh? And yet, these people turned right around. I don't know about this particular family or these people, but they're going to, it looked like, because the Democrats are telling them how bad things are, and things are going to get worse, and Trump this and Trump that, making them causing them to forget that things was already bad and even worse under the Democrat control, they're going to turn right around and vote them back in again. And they're going to build a gold calf under the Democratic platform. And it's the Democrats that allows these type of crimes to happen that you see. They took away bail bonds. They defunded the police. They let the inmates out of prison. And this is what you got. And jails. This is what you got. And it appears that no one will ever deal with, address these senseless black crimes in the U.S. This is from WFTV. A man charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of a teenager in downtown Miraborne, Florida, appeared in court on Thursday with his defense team, claimed additional evidence proved he acted in self-defense. Watch this.
Prosecutors point to this surveillance video as a key piece of evidence in the case against Stephen DeJust. He's charged with second-degree murder for shooting 19-year-old Nathaniel Jennings in downtown Melbourne back in May. Investigators say DeJust pulled out his handgun and fired 8 times after an altercation outside of downtown bars. We stopped the video before the first shots were fired, but prosecutors say the fight beforehand never got physical and say DeJust continued shooting even as Jennings ran away.
Does the victim ever make physical contact with the defendant, Mr. DeJust? Does he ever hit him?
He does not.
But the defense argues video from other downtown Melbourne surveillance cameras will help prove DeJust shot in self-defense. He told police back in May the victim threatened him and put him in a bear hug. Defense also claiming friends of the victim were actively plotting to hurt or kill DeJust while in jail as an act of retaliation for the shooting. The state attorney's office did tell us DeJust was being held in the Volusia County Jail, not the Brevard County Jail, for his own safety. In the meantime, it's now on the defense to go ahead and sort through whatever video might be useful.
Might be useful what? Did it freeze?
I think he ended it there.
Huh?
I think he cut the clip there.
Oh, so what there? Oh, okay. What a mess, huh? Defunding the police. Locking people up is racism. Let them out, they say, is racism. And this is what you get. And the Democrats and those people who were for defunding and stuff, they don't have to deal with this. They're behind gated fences. They have guns on them. They are protected with bodyguard paid by we, the taxpayer, most of the time. Lo and behold, if you fall for this trick, that Donald Trump is making it worse. You won't be able to blame anyone else for your issues, and it's going to get worse. It's like the devil always tell you, and your thought, all thoughts are all lies all the time. Emotions are all lies all the time because they come from thoughts. You're not your thoughts, right? But the devil tell you, you are a victim and somebody else is to blame. It's not your fault that you are a victim, they tell you. And you believe it. You think you're a victim. So do what you want. But you don't want the Democrats back in. You think that this moment of high prices and stuff like that is worth voting the Democrats back in. You have another thought coming. This I promise you. The Democrats do not care about you. They won't even vote on, according to all the reports, they won't vote on the voter bill that you have to have ID in order to vote. They won't even vote on that. That's why one of the reasons you can't get this thing passed to fund the DHS, because the Democrats don't want you to have to show ID. Why not? We have so many illegals in our country today. The SAVE Act, thank you, Derek. The SAVE Act is that you have to have ID, proof of citizenship, before you can vote in the elections. And the Democrats don't want that to happen. But they're not telling you that. What a mess. So, James, that was Moses that delivered the people from Egypt?
Yes.
Right? And then they went out there, and Jesus went to take a break. I mean, Moses took a break, and then he went up to see what God wanted him to do with those folks.
Yeah, he got those Ten Commandments, and then he saw them worshiping the golden calf. He threw that down, and he had to go get more, 10 more commandments.
10 more than 10?
Well, the 10 commandments all over again, because broke them. He threw them down on the ground.
He got mad at the people?
Yeah, but they didn't wander in the desert until they got to the land of Canaan, and those spies, most of them had no faith about it, except for like two, Joseph and Caleb. And that was why they had to wander in the desert for 40 years.
I noticed that in all crowds, they're always like one or two with real faith.
Right.
They're in that crowd, but they're like, no, this is not working.
Indeed.
There's something wrong. Let me think for myself, they say. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Crystal out of Florida. Crystal, you are on the air.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Crystal.
Hi. I was wondering, I know I'm kind of late. This is earlier in the show, but what is your background and what is your religious views? Are you religious at all? And what is your family history? Like, where do you come from? Who are your ancestors?
I'm from Sweet Home, Alabama. And my background is uneducated. I got a high school at best, and I barely made that, and all is well.
All right, thank you.
All right. Amazing. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Charles, first-time call out of New Jersey. Charles. Or is it Charlie?
Charlie,
you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse, I've been a fan of yours. I really enjoy your show. I've watched you for the last year or so. There are hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people online. I just like the way you say things. You've got a nice way of delivering things. You have a unique view. I agree with a lot of things that you say, and I just enjoy your show. And I've got a couple things to say. If you want me to say it, I will. If not, I'll hang up.
Okay. Is that it?
No. Two very quick things. Okay. Can I say something very briefly about the 20 million plus people that the Joe Biden administration allowed into the United States of America?
Yes.
One of the things that I always hear left people talking about, and they talk about ICE. And like, you know, ICE is monsters. They're all Nazis. I don't get it. Why do they want these people in this country? And then I thought about it. The reason why they want these 20 million people in the country is because they want their vote. That's all. They want their vote.
That's right.
Because as you know, Jesse, every 10 years in the United States of America, there's a census count. Every state, they count all the people in each state, whether they're legal, illegal, whether in prison, whether they're child molesters, it doesn't matter. They count every single person. So let's say in California 10 years ago, there were 10 million people. Let's say today there are 20 million people. This is what happens that most people don't understand. The more people in each state means the more representatives in Washington. And the more representatives in Washington means the more electoral votes they're going to get.
Absolutely.
That's the reason. That's the reason why they want. Here, listen, Jesse, all of us are so-called immigrants. I guess the Indians were here first. Let's let everyone in. But let's don't let the illegal aliens vote. Let's let them live in the country maybe 10, 15, 20 years, figure out if they're good people. They pay taxes. We deport all the ones that are horrible. But we just don't let them vote.
We shouldn't even let them in, man.
Jesse, I agree. You know what? You're smarter than me. Jesse, you know, it is bizarre. Think about it.
And white people are not immigrants. White people founded this country.
Weren't there so-called indigenous Indians or other people here first?
No, they say the Indian was here, but they were high pot. They weren't doing anything. It wasn't America. If it wasn't for white America discovering and creating the greatest country on the planet, the Indians would still be out in the woods smoking pot. And they call it powder.
I'm going to ask you one more thing. Do you know who I'm going to give you this girl's name. She went to Loyola University. She's that 18-year-old girl. Her name was Sheridan. Have you talked about Sheridan Gorman yet?
No. Is she black?
No. Jesse, 2 days ago, there was an 18-year-old white girl named Sheridan Gorman. And she was killed by an illegal alien.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember hearing that. We got so many of this happening now, Charlie, and can't keep up with it.
But here's the interesting story about it. And I'm trying to find this woman's name. I had it queued up and ready for
you. She was killed in Chicago, I believe.
Right, but here's the thing about it. There's an alderman, or an alderwoman, actually. I had it queued up, and now I wish I had it queued up. She's an African-American woman, or maybe she's a black woman. I'm not sure how she wants to be identified. But she basically said that this 18-year-old white girl was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and maybe she should think about where she hangs out at.
Amazing.
She was – I'm serious. I wish I had it logged up because I had everything logged up and ready to go. This alderwoman basically said, you know, it's kind of her own fault. But she was killed by an illegal alien. You should research it.
Well, let me tell you this, Charlie, then I got to run. White people's lives are not valued in their own country anymore. And white people are under genocide, and the people of color are happy about it. So it's got to get worse before it gets better. I got to run, Charlie. Call me again, all right?
Can I just say one last thing?
Yes.
The woman's name is Maria Haddon.
Charlie, I'm so sorry. I got it wrong. Call me again, okay?
All right, take care.
All right, buddy.
Take care, bye.
All right. Super chat. I'm near the end of the show. I'm near the end of the show, Charlie.
Yesterday, and he gave a coffee. Morning, my beloved half-breed.
Half-breed.
Biblical question answer.
What? Why are women assumed innocent and men assumed guilty?
Women and children have always been a marginalized group of people since biblical days. They were never counted amongst men. Only men held significance in society and received honorable mention. Women and children are deemed insignificant, not counted amongst men. So likewise, blame is not attributed to women, only men. Men are the salt of the earth and light of the world. They're held at a higher accountability in society.
That's why they do that.
That's what he says.
Thank you. I'll put my 2 cents in on Sunday. I appreciate it.
A missed Rumble rant yesterday from Nick LaBoy. Suggestion. You should make montage videos of news clips and articles in different categories like affirmative action, black crime, etc. This way, when people try to say different, you can play that video.
Amazing. Nice idea. Thank you.
Coffee's also from yesterday. McVic. Is it an old wives tale or an old wise tale? May the Lord be willing and the creek not rise. It's old wives, as in female spouse.
Thank you. Amazing.
Thank you, McVic. Keith Satoff says, with three coffees, biblical question answer.
Why women assume innocent and men assume guilty?
Women are assumed innocent because they cry and play victim, and men are assumed guilty because they get angry. The devil loves to accuse an angry man and loves to comfort a crying woman. The world has gone to hell. Face palm, shaking his head.
Thank you. I'll put my 2 cents in on Sunday.
Kevin S., every little bit helps, he says, on Cash App.
It does, Kevin S., and thank you very much.
Bulgar Wolf, Jesse, a few months ago I gave up on my not very illegal pot business of 15 years. I was making buku money, but the devil now is screaming at me daily trying to bring me back to it. Can you give me some words of wisdom?
Do not listen to the thoughts. All thoughts, all lies, all the time about anything, really. If you're out of there, you want to be out of there, go find yourself another job. It's there. Amazing. But stay away from thoughts and don't react. Don't overreact. Thank you.
Pastor Chatelet, early in the morning this morning, when we were late, he black, he late. Thank you, Uncle Jesse, for exemplifying black excellence by being late. What the?
Amazing. Thank you.
Him
amazing.
D. Howdy, y'all. Cowboy Smiley. Can Jesse give a shout-out to Him Diddy's birthday? Much appreciated. Love y'all. Heart.
Who birthday?
Him Diddy.
Happy birthday. Amazing. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy birthday.
Shout-out.
Anthony L. Cool sunglasses, Smiley.
Thank you, Anthony L.
And I missed this one. Nick LaBoy with a rumble rant during Bill Lockwood's segment. For Bill Lockwood, your thoughts with George Washington's farewell speech when he talks about not confusing another country's allegiance with our allegiance. I'm sure he would agree.
Amazing, yeah. And Bill, they had Bill busy this morning, so, but thank you.
And all this DNA genealogy is a waste of time and energy. Anyone who returns to the Father is a kingdom citizen and a chosen vessel to do the Father's will on earth.
Rest my case. That's amazing. Thank you.
Gabriel N. had a question for Bill Lockwood that I had missed. What is your knowledge of the Sabbatian occult and also the Olympian Council? Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Sorry to miss it, sir.
Yeah.
And let me double check on the Rumble Rants. Charles A., I mean on coffee. A Democrat would never turn on a Democrat who is in power no matter what.
Yeah.
But here you have Bill Lockwood and other conservatives turning on Trump for one thing they disagree with. This is why Democrats win, because conservatives don't play by the same rules.
Well, I don't think Bill was turning on Trump. He just wasn't sure about the Iran situation, but he still liked Trump. And he's just waiting to see about that. But
nice.
You're right. There are people who are turning. But I don't think Bill is doing that. He's not doing that. Amazing. Thank you.
Shout out Games for Rec. Mercer Stinks. Aries One and the rest of the supporters on the D-Live crew. Thank y'all.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you, guys. I could be mistaken. Let me just double check. I believe. Oh, Nikki 313 says, I'd like to answer the BQ.
Why are women assumed innocent and men assumed guilty?
I'm guessing it's the result of men putting women on pedestals for generations and women encouraging victimhood because they don't value what's right.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Brandy from Hawaii, $1 gas is coming. Celebration hands, a new party will arise. Lion emoji.
Thank you, Brandy. Amazing.
And now I believe that's all for now.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let me go quickly to Joseph out of California. Joseph, you are on the air.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Joseph.
How's it going?
All is well. Because of time, go right to your question or comment.
Okay, I had a question about my living situation.
Uh-huh.
I moved out of my mom's house, and I moved in with my girlfriend and her sister because the economy is pretty high. And she kind of just doesn't respect the house, you know, doesn't clean up after herself, leaves trash all around.
Your girlfriend, and, like, or I told her sister?
Her sister.
Okay.
And I've been trying to work on myself, so I've been coming without anger and letting her know if she could kindly, like, pick up after herself and do stuff like that, right? And, you know, she says okay at the time, but there's no change. She keeps doing the same thing. And then I try to have my girlfriend, I told my girlfriend if she could tell her sister, like, you know, because she's not listening to me, obviously. And then my girlfriend's like, oh, don't tell me to do this. Like, go with her if you have the problem. And I understand that, but I'm letting her know that she doesn't listen to me. And so, like, I know you're her sister, so she might listen to you. And he says, like, yeah, it's that. And I just don't know what to do anymore because, like, at first, I was, you know, and I'm, like, leaving her dishes and stuff.
How old are
and,
you?
And, you know, I'm 22.
Is it your place?
We all got the place together, so we're all splitting rent. But my name's not on the lease.
Then
it's my
you
girlfriend.
Should move out and move back home and then get your own place. And leave your girlfriend and her sister there because, based on what you're saying, the girlfriend is already showing you she's not going to obey you.
Yes.
So that's exactly. Only going to get worse.
But I don't want to move back to my mom's place.
Well, that's better than staying there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just say goodbye to the girlfriend and the sister, move back home, unless you can afford, to get your own place?
I'd have to look into that.
If you can afford to get your place by yourself, that's fine, rather than if you don't want to go back home to mama. But you're in a bad situation that's only going to get worse.
Yeah, and it's only bad. And also, the only reason why I'm sticking up with it is because my girlfriend is pregnant.
So what?
My girlfriend is pregnant.
I told you this situation only got to get worse.
That's the only reason why I'm, like, sticking up with all this stuff.
But that's not a reason to stay with it. Because it's going to get worse, and now you got a child on the way. Your girlfriend is going to use your baby against you.
Yeah, right. And I told her, like,
Joseph, are you able to? I'm so out of time. Are you able to call me back tomorrow and I'll take your call as soon as you call in?
Yes, that's fine.
Yeah, because I don't want to rush through this. It's all pretty serious.
Yeah, it is pretty serious.
Okay, call me back tomorrow. Let the guy know I told you to call me back. And I'll take your call as soon as you call.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy. I am so out of time. What a day! Stay with it. That was an amazing open for Manhood Hour. The Anchor Baby put that together. It was interesting, funny. Rick and the rest of the callers, tomorrow is Bible Thumper Thursday. I'll be back then if the Lord is willing. Hey, be coming up now. And then the American Anchor Baby. And thank you all for your support. Have an amazing day. Bye.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name in all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
Now. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature.